This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your workday. So tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9 with Macca and Tass as we in the run-up to midday. Our next guest is Bill Botell, and been a very popular guest for us certainly in the last little while when we speak with Bill around COVID. Professor. I'm sorry. University of New South Wales, the Kirby Institute. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, Tass. Good morning, Macca.
Great to have you back on the airwaves, Bill.
Look, I wanted to kick off, Bill, if I could. Obviously, we'll deal with New South Wales and federally, but I wanted to sound you out a bit. How do you feel that the Victorian government, the restrictions and dealing with Delta, how do you think they're doing?
Well, on the figures, of course, they're doing much better than New South Wales. I'm sure in Victoria they're doing their very level best to try to restrict the number of cases and movement and hospitalisations and, of course, deaths. I think they're motivated at the highest level to do that. It's very important, of course, that people go and get tested. It's a funny phenomenon in Victoria compared to New South Wales that the testing rates in Victoria seem to be lower consistently than in New South Wales. And not living in Melbourne, I can't volunteer an opinion as to why that ought to be so, but testing is really important if you have any symptoms, and then, of course, to avail yourself of the vaccination opportunities that are there, particularly with Astra, I think, in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Testing, vaccination, all of these things will mobilise the people and get those rates under control, which they have to be. Whatever happens in the future, we cannot run our hospital systems and our societies with high rates of COVID Delta or whatever comes after it. So we just have to get those rates down.
Can I ask, Bill, you know, the infection rate or, you know, the reported cases, you know, there's a big variation between the different states. Mm-hmm. The road that we're going down, this 70 and 80% road, my view as a complete layperson, I'm troubled to be opening up at 70% with the huge number of infections. And I'm talking about New South Wales and Victoria. With the huge number of infections we have, can you tell me what is your view on opening up, you know, with hundreds, if not thousands of cases? How does that work?
Well, like you, I'm a concerned layperson, not an epidemiologist or a virologist, but over all my years in public health, I've learned that it's very wise to listen to the very best epidemiologists and virologists and people who are at the front line of this, and people of the eminence of Professor Brendan Crabb, who's at the Burnet, the director of the Burnet in Melbourne, and Professor Mike Toole, Raina McIntyre, and so on. And they are very concerned. I don't believe there's one eminent epidemiologist in Australia who could not be concerned at any idea that you would somehow believe that all of this will be in the rear vision mirror when you get to some vaccination rate. Anybody who believes that lockdowns, lockouts, restrictions are not part and parcel of living with COVID is living really in a fantasy land. It is all there, in fact, in the Doherty Institute, one of the many institutes that has modelled this. It's not as if this is being hidden from public opinion. But of course, politicians do like to cherry pick. You know, and we've had more cherry picking going on than in a cherry orchard in the last few weeks about all of this stuff. Let's get really real. People can read that Doherty report, and it falls to common sense. Of course, if you were to say that we reach any level of vaccination, which of course is a protective thing, it will not protect unvaccinated people. So if you open up at 70%, say 70% were magically vaccinated tomorrow, which they can't be because of our supply problems, that would still mean that there are 30% of people who are unvaccinated. Well, where will Delta go to? It will go to those people, and they are younger people. They are people who are socially and economically disadvantaged, probably. And I certainly know in New South Wales, one of the great problems of this astonishing decision in mid-June to let COVID in or let COVID run before we were unvaccinated, before we were vaccinated properly, was in Western District of New South Wales with Indigenous communities who are almost totally unvaccinated. And it's no surprise, of course, that that's where there's a great problem today. So let's not fall for the happy talk, for the spin. Yeah. Let's take it prudently. Of course, we've got to accept what's going on. But the key is vaccination, and then whatever day or time, it will be a very gradual and slow road ahead. There will be no magic day. I wish there were, but there won't be. And we can see what's happening in countries with higher vaccination rates than Australia still.
Still happening.
Israel, UK, US, hospitalisations and deaths are heading in the wrong way among the unvaccinated because of what Delta is.
I think of it like this, Bill. If there was a bushfire, you wouldn't get out, of your car while the fire's still burning to go for a walk. You'd wait till the fire was under control, if not out. Why would you?
Or out of the cave.
Yeah, why would you come out of the cave and walk into the bushfire? You'd wait for till the fire was out or under control.
I saw another analogy during the week, Macca. There was a cartoon in one of the papers that showed that when 70% of people have their shark-proof suits on, that's when the rest of the pool will be opened up.
Yeah, we'll lift up the shark barrier, So today, Bill, we've got 1,533 in New South Wales. I don't know the number that were out in the community because the New South Wales government no longer tells us each day what those figures are, just as they don't publish, they don't tell us every day what the exposure sites are. So they don't want you to know where it's been contracted. They don't want you to know how many people were out and about. They say, oh, look, that's all online. You can get it, you know. Why are they doing this? Why are they hiding the information from people? I don't understand.
Well, bit by bit, the figures that count, just facts and figures, the ones that are not the ones they want to present, are being restricted, are being suppressed, and are not being conveyed to the public. The one figure, of course, that is a good figure, the rates of vaccinations. So the New South Wales government is inviting people to look at the one figure they have, vaccination rates. But there are consequential figures, as you say, the exposure sites, the ones who are out in the community, the rates of hospitalisation and home hospitalisation. We have about 11,000 people or so in New South Wales who are not being treated in hospital for COVID,
but 11,000
in the community, 11,000. And I think I was told the other day that about 700 or so children are being treated in the home, as it were, out of Westmead Hospital. So these are really serious figures. And one of the great problems in the last year and a half in the Australian response to COVID, particularly at federal level, but now at New South Wales, has been the idea that somehow the Australian people are not entitled to these facts and figures being online immediately. There had to be a tremendous amount of pressure exerted on the governments, the federal government, to come out with the daily or the figures about postcode by postcode vaccination coverage rate, which is terribly important.
Are the people of New South Wales aware that they're getting edited information?
They are aware. One of the clear things in New South Wales, nobody ever sought the approval or gained the assent of the New South Wales people to what was done in the middle of June to bring down this live with COVID, this tremendous change in arrangements, which has had diabolical, let's be frank, impacts. I mean, over 100 people, 119 people have died. We're running at 1,500 cases a day. That's 10,000 or so cases a week. 11,000 people are being treated in the
community,
in home hospitals, as it were. And of course, that's before you get to the tremendous economic dislocation of the lockdowns, which is now stretched on for 10 or 11 weeks, and which seems to be going on indefinitely. So all of this ought to have been at least fully put out there to the New South Wales people, and all of our systems prepared, and the expectations adjusted, and the debate had. None of that happened. So I think people in New South Wales are pretty dismayed at how this is playing out. And I think that if you keep restricting or hiding or not talking about inconvenient figures, that just makes people all the more concerned and worried. And, you know, the letdown when it comes, as it is coming, is that much greater. Because you have to have trust in what's being said, and you have to have trust in the figures and the facts.
Bill, we've only got a few minutes left, but I'm interested in your reflections on national leadership and global pandemic management.
National leadership, that'll be a short answer.
Just give us your latest reflections on that space.
Well, look, really, Peter Hatcher in the Herald up here today, I think in The Age, lamented the fact that we're not got what you'd call intelligent leadership and management of this crisis. And I think that's nowhere more the case than in the lamentable story of the slow vaccination rates. If we had started vaccinating as we could have at the beginning of January, we'd have about 70%, roughly, of the Australian population double vaccinated by about now. And we could have got there without all of the lockdowns and all of the things that have happened in New South Wales and elsewhere. So a lot of planning that ought to have been done wasn't. And if it had been, we would be far better off today than we are. So that's a very big failure. And who's responsible for that exactly, and how all of that came to pass? I think in due course there should be the most searching commissions of inquiry into all of this. And we haven't got time for that right now. We've got to get on with the job. But it can't be put off. There has to be an accounting of what happened and why that has ended up in the situation that we are in today, and that really ought and could have been avoided with proper foresight and planning at federal level.
Bill, very quickly, do you think this will actually play out at the next election?
Well, I think that all the people who are Australian taxpayers and voters are going to take a very close look at who's responsible and how did we get here. I don't dispute that people have tried to do their best. I'm not trying to cast aspersions in that way. But let's be frank, the outcomes are not what they ought to have been. And the Australian people have a right to a much better, higher standard of political decision making, and in many cases politicians, than they have, you know, than we've had to date.
Bill, we need
a complicated country, and we need a better standard than we have got.
Thank you, Bill. Bill, we need to leave it there. We've run out of time, unfortunately.
Again, sorry.
Thank you so much for being available again, and we'd love to continue these conversations with you.
Of course. Always a pleasure with both of you.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.